We're teaching on how to raise a generation to serve the Lord. And so let's all stand for the reading of this one verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. The Bible says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Heavenly Father, Lord, help us, dear God. We've been given a great responsibility here. And Lord, David said that he served his generation by the will of God. And Lord, every one of us was born when we, Lord, should have been born. It was your decision. You placed us in a moment in time. You assigned us a generation. And Lord, we pray, dear God, as we look at our young people, Lord, and soon this thing's going to be handed over to them. And so, Lord, in every generation, there must not only be passed down the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there must be transferred from our hearts to theirs a desire to serve you. And so I pray, Lord, that as a church and parents, Lord, that we would partner together, do everything within our power to raise young people that want to serve God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to probably give you about 8 or 9 things tonight that I think are essential, I think are important, if we're going to raise a generation that grow up wanting to serve the Lord and are capable of serving the Lord. When I say that, I kind of want to clarify some things, and you know, I'm going to probably bring an entire message on this. I've been working on one. Sometimes because of the fact that some of our young people are called to preach, some of our young men are called to preach, some of our young leaders end up marrying these young men that are called to preach, that you know, we talk about them, we illustrate with them. We, of course, are thrilled that God's using them to that capacity. And they may get mentioned, you know, more than the young man that grew up in this church and is running a bus route, or grew up in this church and is teaching a Sunday school class. They may get a little more of a spotlight than a young lady that grew up in this same church. And you know what? She's serving the Lord. She's out there helping in Bible club right now or something like that. When I talk about raising children to serve the Lord, raising our young people to serve the Lord, I want you to understand that it's not God's will for everyone to be in full-time Christian service. And I think that one of the things where we're getting the line blurred a little bit, and this is why I'm going to teach on this, is, folks, listen to me, the call into the gospel ministry is a sacred thing and a precious thing and a specific thing. Listen, you don't choose it. It chooses you. In essence, God chooses you. And sometimes I feel like in a church like this where we're so ministry-minded that somebody that's just working a secular job and, you know what, raising a family and having an influence on the workplace for the Lord Jesus Christ and involved in some type of service on weekends and ministry may feel like, well, am I doing enough? Listen, if God didn't call you to do this full-time, you're doing exactly what you ought to be doing. That's not a second-class situation or second-class position. And so sometimes I think, especially coming off of Missions Emphasis Month, you know, where if we're not careful, we've got people that God hasn't called into ministry but become dissatisfied for what God called and created them to be. Don't be dissatisfied with that. And you can't create something that God doesn't do. And I will tell you, there's two people that I've met in my life that I think are the two most miserable group of Christians out there, saved people. Well, there's the number one one. That's the carnal, backslidden Christian. But sometimes you see a man that's trying to do ministry who's not called into ministry. Not only is he never really truly happy, his wife isn't, the kids aren't. You know why? They're trying to do something they haven't been called to do. I've also met men that have the call of God upon them and are refusing to do it, refusing to follow it. And you know what? They're out of place. And so we'll do some clarifying on this, I think, sometime when our teens are here, and I'll speak a little bit more. But listen, every young person that grows up here ought to have a desire in their heart by the time they're ready to launch into life to want to serve the Lord. whether it is through their local assembly as a lay person, or whether it's in a call to preach or a call to full-time ministry, every single one of us ought to have a burning desire to want to do something for God. That ought to be normal, and it ought to be natural. And so the call into full-time ministry begins with a divinely placed desire within the heart of a young man, a call of God, hands of God placed upon him. I've often said the call of God is simply the when God calls you to tell or informs you and tells you what God created you to be. Jeremiah was created to be a prophet from his mother's womb. You know what? I tell people it shouldn't sound arrogant because I didn't have a thing to do with it. But you know what? I wasn't just called to preach. I was created to preach from my mother's womb. This is how far in advance in the foreknowledge of God this goes. And so at some point when he creates someone to be a preacher, he's going to tap on the shoulder at some point and tell him, let me tell you why I created you. And then that young man from that point on launches into ministry. You know, an interesting situation. I want to share some blessings because every once in a while something happens. Sister Terry, thank you for bringing Jade to me. Mitch Tillman was here. Some of you know who Jade is. She's the blonde-haired teenage girl, the bus girl that's been setting up here. And after Mitch Tillman got done preaching, Sister Terry brought Jade back to talk to me. And it's been a long time, Sister Terry, since I've seen a young lady or a young man, teenager, absolutely broken to sobbing tears over God working so powerfully in her life. And she said, I'm sitting there listening to this man. And she said, for some time, God's placed in my heart that I'm supposed to do something to reach the Asian people. And she said, God told me today that he wants me to surrender, to be willing to go to the mission field, if that's God's will for my life. And this girl is trying to tell me this and sobbing her way through it. Folks, listen to me. That ought to be the goal. Not that everybody is called to full-time service, but that everybody would be that brokenhearted over understanding the importance of growing up and spending your life serving God. I mean, I'd hate to think the biggest thing, grow up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, graduate from our school, and the biggest thing is the next Star Wars movie that's coming out. Or whatever other stupid thing people are into today. And that there's nothing in their life that drives them and makes them, I mean, good night, to want to make an eternal difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just get up. Where are we going to go eat this week? Where are we going to go out to eat? What are we going to do? What TV show are we going to watch? What little pet project are we going to... Listen, I'm all for people having hobbies. I've got some hobbies. I do some things. But good night, that's not what I get up for every morning of my life. And you know what? Don't lose the desire to serve God. That ought to be in everybody's heart. And so now, if we're going to create that environment, that atmosphere, both in our homes and our church. And by the way, if the homes can't create it, it's going to have a hard time creating it if the church isn't creating it. And the church is going to have a hard time creating it if the homes don't create it. Hey, let's get on the same page and let's pray over these young people and say, let's raise young people with a heart to serve God. That is a big deal, a big thing in their life. Now, let me give you several things. Number one, teens must have mentors who are passionate in their service for the Lord. If teens are going to grow up and be excited about serving God, then the adults in their life that have influence over them must also have a passion and be passionate about serving the Lord. Oh, parents, listen to me. Those of you that are serving God, I know not every Sunday is going to go according to script. Trust me, I know that bus route not every week's going to be one of those hallelujah glory things. I know not every week's going to be a good day in children's church, you know. But you know what? You have got to be so careful. One of the things we guarded against in our home, me and Cheryl, is we guarded our children against us talking about the negativities of ministry. Now, every single adult in here realizes no matter what you do with your life, there's positives, there's negatives, there's good days, and there's bad days. But if you're not careful, if you get into the habit of complaining about serving the Lord, then you know what? You have put in the hearts of the young people what you're doing. They're listening. Well, they're listening. Well, no, they're back there coloring. They're listening. Okay, they hear what you say. And they see your attitude. And if you're walking around mumbling under your breath, come on, ladies, you're walking around mumbling under your breath on a Sunday morning because it's cold out and I can't believe it, and you don't want to go on the bus, and everybody in the house knows you don't want to be on the bus, and well, you know what you're going to raise? A bunch of kids that don't want to be on the bus. Okay, and at some point, what we've got to do is guard ourselves against that. Listen, we're all human. Trust me, we're all human. But we've got to be passionate about serving the Lord. A strong common denominator among churches who regularly turn out young people is this. The adults in that church have an excitement and a passion about serving the Lord. Okay, by the way, this must start with the pastor. Man, I've got to get up here and I've got to cheerlead this thing. You don't see me coming in here with the mumble grumbles. You don't see me walking around complaining about serving God. You know what? I get up here and I try to, listen, look, did you see the bulletin? We've got March Gladness going. What are you trying? I'm trying to create an atmosphere of excitement, Missions Month. You know, I walk in the pulpit and I say, I can't get a smile on my face. It starts in the middle of January and goes all the way. You think that I just think of the, you think that's not thought through, prayed through, and done on purpose? By the way, I'm not lying. I'm not talking about lying. I do start smiling in the middle of January. But you know what? If I don't say those things out loud, listen, if I'm not excited about something, y'all aren't going to be excited about it. Hey, bus captains, you're not excited about Sunday. Your bus kids aren't going to be excited about it. Your bus workers aren't going to be excited about it. Your bus driver's not going to be excited about it. You know, everything does rise and fall on leadership. Mom, you're not excited about serving the Lord. You're going to have a bunch of little spoiled brats that gripe and complain and moan and you know, come on. Cheerlead this thing. Be excited about what's happening in your church. Talk it up. Count the days down. 3 more days to Sunday. 2 more days to Sunday. And we've got to be passionate about serving the Lord if we expect to have kids that are passionate about serving the Lord. So it starts with the pastor. It's exhibited by the staff. It's got to be in our school. Come on, teachers, monitors. You can't come in with the mumbles and the grumbles and I don't want to be there. If you really don't want to be there that bad, come to my office and tell me. I don't know what's worse, not having help or having help that don't want to help. Brother, I'm not sure which is worse, but both of them's bad. It's like, you know, I come on now. Man, let's step up. Gene Mowry can't do it anymore. Ruth English isn't here anymore. Donna Ross isn't here anymore. Betty Townsley can't answer flags anymore. Come on, get off the sideline. Get in the game. All right. I'm a result of that labor and that sacrifice and that excitement. I'm a result of that. We've got a whole swelling of young people. And everybody's excited about it. We've got a whole swelling of young people. Brother Young, did you hear? Can I announce it? They're expecting another baby. Now be happy. What was that? I heard like ah, and then I heard oh. I should ask him which one he did. So. I think it may have been all the guys going yeah, and all the women going oh. I don't know. We don't have to go through what they. So maybe they. It's okay. Just do whatever. That's it. Hey, it's exciting. We're talking about it. We're talking about it. I mean, look, about 10, 11 years old on. Okay, all right, wait a minute. Stop. Let's all stop. One thing to be excited about, what are we going to do with it? Come on, what are we going to do with it? I'm going to walk around with a critical spirit. I'm going to walk around, you know, mully grubbing over everything. I mean, you know, come in here and just, you know, here we are. We got our magnifying glass so we can find something wrong this week. You know, that's the kids you're going to raise. And by the way, if you're in ministry, working in ministry, you're affecting not just your kids. Well, then I should quit. Or, why is it that backsliders always think the first option ought to be to quit instead of just get right with God, get happy, get excited, and get involved? Amen? That's what the young people need. Now, come on, I'm talking to every single adult in this room, everyone. You know, you may not be even able physically to serve in some ways again, but you can walk through that back door happy, and you can grab a songbook, and you can sing, and you can amen the preacher, and you can encourage the young people around here and tell them the greatest life is the Christian life. Every one of us has a responsibility to create an atmosphere at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that is positive and excited and on fire and passionate and talking up the things that are coming in March. And I can't wait for this. And isn't it great that we get to do this? And how many days till spring revival? Come on, let's talk it up. All right, number two, teens must have mentors who are passionate about reaching the lost. It's one thing to be passionate about serving God. That's good. But you know what they also need? Teens, children, young people. I got teens written on most of these points because this is kind of a lecture I give to teen workers. But I'm talking about children, everybody. Young people must have mentors, not only passionate about serving the Lord, but passionate about reaching the lost. Now, some of you are real good about passionate about serving the Lord. You want a job. You want your position. You want to do something. But then when it says Operation Occupation, and, you know, I can't find you. Or, you know what, hey, we need some help knocking on doors for our buses. Now, listen, I want to just give you a little thought about this, okay? Because I kept track this year. I never kept track before, but I estimated, kept track. You know, folks, 40 weeks, okay? There's 52 weeks in a year. Okay, I understand not every week you're going to be able to go. If you take an Operation Occupation, you know, you're going to be on vacation. So I'm taking it all the way down. I'm giving you 12 weeks off where something comes up. If you, for 40 weeks, will leave your house, go out on your section, visit, come back, and in the total time, 2 hours, so about an hour and a half knocking on doors. I did that this year and covered almost 3 sections by myself. So look right up here. Don't tell me the problem is that it takes too much time. Did you hear what I just said? And if our kids... But they're all going to be here Sunday night. All right, our teens are gone. This is a good time for us to talk about this. They're all going to be here. Bible club kids are all out there. Good time to talk about. They're all going to be here. I just am wondering the level of enthusiasm they're going to see from Blessed Hope Baptist Church on Operation Occupation launch night. Or is it like turning on a light at the end of the service and the cockroaches go scattering, hide in the corners? Now, listen to me. Everybody in here, if I wanted to, folks, I'm as busy or busier than most everybody in this room. And I don't go every week because it's convenient to go. I don't go every week because I want to go. I go every week because, you know what, there's still a hell. And I can't get away from the command, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What I'm saying is we got to take a look at this, because if the average layperson, you got 168 hours in your week, and you can't find 2 hours in that 168 hours to either get on a bus route on Saturday and go knock doors, and you can soul win while you're knocking doors and looking for new kids. Or you can join Operation Occupation and do it. Or Sunday school teachers, come on. I'm going to have a meeting this Sunday night. We're going to talk to Sunday school teachers. We're going to talk to bus workers. Hey, I'm turning the heat up around here a little bit. A lot of you are way too comfortable. Way too comfortable. You know, you like the fact you can tell everybody, yeah, I teach Sunday school at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Well, you teach it, but are you a Sunday school teacher? Because a Sunday school teacher does more than just teach a class. That'd be like me saying, yeah, I preach 3 times a week down at Blessed Hope. I'm the pastor. Well, that's about that much of what you do. And Sunday school teacher, you know what? You got to decide you're going to lose your heart into those young people. And you're going to chase those young people. And you're going to be in their houses. And you're going to visit them on a regular basis. And if there's somebody that doesn't show up on Sunday, you're going to be in their class, in their house that week sometime to find out where were you. What I'm saying is playing at it ain't getting it done. And so we've got to decide if we're not, listen, here's the point. I got to move on. If we're not passionate about it, why do you think we're going to have a group of these young people that's coming up that's going to grow up and want to serve God? Okay, we're dictating their future. Okay, so enough of this poor me, enough of this selfishness, enough of this every time you're asked to do something else, you just act like, oh my goodness sake, oh, doesn't he know how busy I already am? Enough of that nonsense. You know, the difference between a hireling, let me help you with ministry mindedness. The difference between a hireling and a shepherd is this. A hireling always keeps his hours. You know why? He's got an hourly mentality about ministry. Okay, the difference between a hireling and a shepherd. Shepherd, this is not a job I do. This is a life I live. It's not the hours, it's your life. Brother Young, you got it because you were raised in a ministry family. But I'm telling you, Brother James, you too. But I'm telling you, that there's a lot of young people going to Bible college to go into ministry, and they're coming out with an hourly mentality about serving God. Now, either this isn't what you do, this is who you are. This is who God created you to be, and I think that's what really needs to start separating those who say they're called to ministry and those who aren't really called to ministry. Because this is a life. It's what you do. Okay? And, you know, I'm probably going to meet with our staff and do some retraining. Deacons, come on. All right? Come on. What we've got to do is we've got to stop worrying about, well, I've already put in, and, you know, I've did this many, and I've kept my hours, and I know I've never robbed the church. Did you rob God? Okay? You know, I don't clock out after 40 hours and then go do what I want to do. It's a life. It's what you do. It's how you live. And I want young people to be willing to surrender to that kind of a life. And if they're going to do that, they've got to have people in front of them that are living that kind of a life. Number three, young people must have opportunities to experience service, in their local assembly. I've got to hurry. Second to a soul winner's heart is the importance of developing in our young people a servant's heart. A servant's heart. Some of you families are so good at this. You're raising young people that really have a heart to serve, and I appreciate that so much. Every ministry of the church, I believe, should be examined. Opportunities of service within the local assembly made available, especially to our teenagers. Okay, teens who are brought up actively serving in their church carry that servant's heart into adulthood. If you're a young man, why aren't you ushering? Okay, Brother Eric's come to you. He's come and asked me. I literally had young men grow up and couldn't be used on Wednesday night. We give them an opportunity. What is this all about? They didn't want to wear a tie. And they have to wear a tie, so they just keep showing up to not wearing a tie until finally we just take them off the list. And, boy, you're going to grow up and do something great for the Lord. I mean, wow, what a sacrifice to wear a tie on a Wednesday. Oh, I know. The church should change that. Pastor should lower it to you so that you are comfortable serving. You know, come on. Every single step up in service requires a little more sacrifice, a little more sanctification, a little more seriousness. Okay, you want that kind of nonsense, go to a rock and roll church. You can go in there and be Bermuda shorts and a tank top and be an usher. Okay? And what I'm saying is this, you know what? You want to serve the Lord? Get serious about it. Get serious about it, okay? Parents who hold, every minister of the church should be examined, look for opportunity. Teens that are brought up actively serving in their church carry that servant's heart into adulthood. Teens who are brought up believing that the church should serve them carry that selfish heart into adulthood. I got to say that again. Teens who are brought up actively serving in their church carry that servant's heart into adulthood. Teens who are brought up believing the church should serve them carry that selfish heart into adulthood. Some of that's just passed down from generation to generation. Number four, teens must see full-time servants of God held in proper respect and esteem. Paul said this to the church of Corinth, Romans 11:13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. He didn't say magnified himself. He said, I magnify my office. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Parents who hold their pastor and other full-time workers in disdain are destroying their children's desire to consider such a calling. Wow, think about that. Listen, I've gone into churches that are just absolutely nothing more than, you know, they're just preacher grinders. Entire congregation given over to this sin. You know, they'll bring in a new guy, candidate him, wine and dine him, give him about 3 months of honeymoon, and then the next 18 months after that, they'll do everything they can to criticize and destroy and run down and all of that nonsense. And, you know, the whole church is involved in it. It's like a spectator sport. You know, it's what they do. Finally break the preacher. He gives up. Family, they resign. They leave. Then they go shopping for another one to do it to. Folks, a lot of that's the denominational junk. Because these churches are deacon-run, they're not scripturally run. They are weak in pastoral leadership. A lot of them are women-run. They're women-run. And so, you know what? What they do is, you know, let's go home and let's have the preacher for, you know, roast preacher for Sunday dinner. And you know, you go ahead, just, I can't stop, do whatever you want to do. Okay, but your children, ma'am, this month heard what you said about your preacher. Sir, they heard what you said about your preacher. And you know, they grow up in that kind of atmosphere. Why would they even consider the idea that they'd want to be a preacher? It's time that we got back to holding men of God in high esteem. Okay. Number five, teens must see full-time servants of God properly cared for financially. Hey, teenagers aren't blind. If we encourage them to surrender to full-time service, then set before them the example of improper care of full-time servants, why should they consider such a calling? Now, folks, listen, I tell people in ministry, surrender to ministry, I'll tell them it's a sacrificial life. I think the Christian life properly lived is a sacrificial life for everybody, not just the pulpit. Interesting. I had a guy tell me one time, well, you know, a preacher's supposed to live by faith. I said, I can show you three times in the Bible where it says the just shall live by faith. I said, are you just? Are you saved? Then whatever you just said about me goes for you too. It's amazing how the definition began to change about what that meant then, you know. We're all supposed to live by faith. Folks, listen to me. At the same time, I get this. You know what? I could name churches in this area. I've just watched treat their pastors horribly financially. I know a church that hired a guy. I mean, he pulled into my, he pastored at church for 6 months and pulled into my driveway. I could hear him coming about 2 miles away. I mean, the car was barely running. It was dented up. It was beat up. It was trash. He had a back seat full of kids, and he knocked on my door, and I said, can I help you? And I didn't know who he was, and he said, I pastor such and such church, and I got to talk to somebody. I'm about to lose my mind. Sit there and catch, let Cheryl take care of the kids. Let's sit there and talk to that man. And finally brought her in, brought her wife in, just listened to her weep. And this church had over $100,000 in the bank. And I said, what are they paying you? And I was absolutely ashamed at their lack of care for their pastor. Ashamed of it. And you know what? Shouldn't be surprising to this day. And by the way, that's been 20, 25 years ago. To this day, Ichabod's been written over that church. It'll stay written on that church. Listen, God will treat a church the same way God sees them treat God's men. They will. There's a reason we take really good care of the missionaries that come through and the evangelists that come through. And your pastor cheerleads it. I've had more than one evangelist say to me, biggest offering I ever got, Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And I love that. I love that. I know pastors that get jealous about it. Yeah, I mean, some of you, I can shake my head a little bit. The way you're taking care of these evangelists, come on now. Now, you know what? I'm one of those that's given the biggest percentage to that. I'm jumping right in there with you. You know why? Because if we take care of God's men, then you know what? God will take care of the church that takes care of the man of God. And so next, let me go quick. Number seven, or six, I think now. Teens must be exposed to surrender environments. What does that mean? That means you ought to put them on a bus and take them to some place like the youth conference down in Lexington every once in a while. We ought to take them to teen camps, teen revivals. We ought to take them to missions, home missions opportunities, those type of things. What do you mean by surrender environments? Well, if you look at the history of how God's dealt with young people and called young people, there are those places and times, there are those consistent things where it just seems like something about taking teens, get them out of the world, get them sequestered away, get them under the preaching of God's word. I know it's not just one meeting, it's a whole event, whole series of events before that that God uses to prepare our heart. But you know what? We ought to be excited to get our young people in an environment where God can speak clearly to them. God can, you know, I think Brother Jeff prayed as we were getting ready to take the offering. Lord, this might be the meeting where you just clarify one of our young people's hearts, why he created them. I love that. He didn't say that they were called to preach, going to be a missionary. He said, why did God create me? I just want to do it. Find the will of God and do it. Find the will of God and do it. And so they need to be exposed. I've watched through the years, and I've been here a long time, okay? And I've watched through the years, I've watched parents that just won't send their teens, won't involve their teens. I've had them coach their teens before they go to camp saying, I don't want you to go forward and surrender to anything until you come home and talk to me about it. Wow. Okay. Well, God, get in line behind them. Get their permission. Okay, excuse me. I mean, you know, and you can sit there and, well, you know, well, what? Okay? God didn't go to Moses' dad. He showed up in front of Moses. God didn't go to Jeremiah's dad, and he said he was a child. So he was young. Come on, God didn't go to Isaiah's daddy or mommy. Guess what? God, listen, we're not Catholic. God can speak directly to your children and directly to your teenager. And if he's going to call them, he's going to call them. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. I wouldn't want to be standing there. If I was mean enough, I could call names of young people right now living in sin, wicked sin, that at one time surrendered to the ministry and got talked out of it by family members. No, I mean, I'd sit there and listen to it. I heard it. This isn't hearsay. This is eyewitness account. We better be careful what we're doing. We better offer our children to the Lord, whatever you want to take, whatever you want to do with them. Take them all the way around the other side of the world, whatever you want, God. Take my children. Okay? So they must be exposed to those surrender environments. Teens, young people must have opportunities to work alongside missionaries and church planters. And there's a reason we do what we do. A lot of summers we'll go to a teen conference or we'll go to a teen camp. That's always good. Like I said, that's kind of those, you know what, get them under a concentrated time of preaching in a good environment. But you know what? It's also awesome to be able to take these young people and let them work beside missionaries, work beside church planters, go out and knock doors with them, get to see this. Hey, one of the most exciting things our young people are being exposed to in the last few months and have the potential to be exposed to is our teens weren't here when Blessed Hope Baptist Church was planted. It's not their fault. The majority, most of the people weren't here the first Sunday Blessed Hope Baptist Church was planted. Okay, you didn't get to see this place planted. So it's not their fault they were born at the time they're born. God didn't make a mistake. But man alive, when we're planting these churches, do you realize that's an opportunity for them to be involved in the same thing that happened in their church? And you know what? They'll walk back in this place with a heightened appreciation of what God has done. That's how this happens. That's the sacrifice that needed to be made. So teens must have opportunities to work alongside missionaries and church planters. Nothing is more effective than getting young people talking on a missions trip, talking together as they come back after these encounters. It's just something to watch what God's done with them. Number nine, teens, and this is it, teens must have opportunities to visit Bible college campuses. And I would encourage you, parents, we don't do this, and I just decided on purpose not to do it. Sometimes we'll go to a conference where they also have a Bible college. We went to Fairhaven's, they have a Bible college. And there's a certain amount of the college they're exposed to. And when your young people are sophomores, juniors, and seniors, you might just say, you know what, we're going to start constructing the direction of our vacation where we can start visiting some of these places. Just let them walk on the campus. Just expose them to it. Say, you know what, this may or may not be God's will for your life, but hey, let's go take a look at it. Let's just see, and let's just at least, there's something about walking on the property. Well, we got a catalog, and went online and looked at the website, and you don't know a thing about the college. Go visit it. Go walk on it. Why are you keeping them from it? Why is that bothering you right now? Come on, we need to open our hearts, folks. If we're going to continue this thing, and what we've got to do is be willing to offer our young people to serve the Lord. Teens must have mentored before them. What was the three most important attributes? The three qualifying attributes of discipleship: self-denial, self-sacrifice, obedient fellowship. Self-denial, self-sacrifice, obedient fellowship. Mentor that before them. They'll catch it. Most things are more caught than taught. They'll catch it. They'll want to become a disciple. Why mom and dad's a disciple? Because the staff's a disciple. Because the pastor's a disciple. Because the adults in our church are a disciple. They're sold out. They're excited about these things. Boy, I can't wait to see what the Lord's going to do. Now, things are changing because of my age. Now when they bring me a baby, these newborns, and they bring it, I'm holding this baby up here. Used to be I'd hold that baby and I'd think, man alive, I hope I get to perform the wedding or at least be there. I hope, can't wait to see what God's going to do with this little one. I can't wait to see what they're going to be like when they get in the youth group. And now I hold them and go, okay, kid, going to try to be there for your wedding, but I may be watching from a different place. But you know what? That's the way of all men. And more us older folks, our influence and our voices, listen, are going to diminish. I'm comfortable with that. Serve my generation by the will of God. The next group's got to serve their generation by the will of God. It's going to be more and more incumbent upon those of you that are now in your 30s, 40s, and 50s to exhibit what I said tonight. Because you're going to increasingly have the strongest influence on the next generation. So Sunday school teachers, listen to me. If you're going to teach class next week, they ought to see an excited Sunday school teacher. If you're going to be on that bus running a program, they ought to see someone that's excited to be there. Okay? If the workers are going on there, they ought to see workers that are excited to see them. Come on, children's church, come on. Sunday morning, listen, singers, sing with passion. Play that piano with passion. Greet people with passion. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And if we serve the Lord with that type of a wonderful, anointed, abandoned, then you know what? Pretty soon there's going to be young people say, you know what? That looks like fun. I'd like to do that. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've been allowed to spend here, Lord. And pray, dear God, as we continue to, Lord, do what you've called us to do, each and every one. Called, Lord, to serve you. May we do it, Lord, passionately. May we do it to the best of our ability. May we do it as, Lord, our talents allow an opportunity arise. And thank you. Thank you, Lord, for those that you've called from this place that are serving out there. But thank you, Lord, just as much for those that are serving God in this place. And one time they were a young person and their lives were influenced because they had older godly people that were excited about serving the Lord. So Lord, may we be passionate about it. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help this to continue to be a place where serving the Lord is a big deal. Pray these things in Jesus' name.